Truth be told, Church of the Living Christ. And here we swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth. So help us God, amen. Today we're going to talk about not giving up. Not giving up, amen. Let's start off with a prayer. Oh dear Heavenly Father God, we ask that this word of yours come forth in these homes, dear God, that it moves inside the souls of these children, dear God, that they may be able to receive something that could help them flourish in areas of their lives that they've never experienced, dear God. In Jesus' name we pray, amen. So, today we're going to dive in not giving up, amen, because there has been a heavy spirit going around of people feeling as though they just want to give up. They just don't want to keep going. They can't. They don't know how to keep going. They don't want to continue. They just not ready for the results. And this is a spirit that is coming against the church and a lot of the saints today. And we want to dive into not giving up, amen. So let's start off with the word of God. You know, we're gonna start off with 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 24, and it says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Amen. The Bible's saying that, you know, there's a race according to the saints. There's a type of race that we should be running if we are competing for the kingdom. Amen. Because there is a race that we should be running. And we cannot say, oh, it's about running the good race if there's no race that we're running, right? Amen. But there is a race, and with races there's rules on how to compete and how to also obtain the prize. Amen. So once again, 1 Corinthians chapter 9 verses 24 says, "Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? Run in such a way as to get the prize." Amen. So in this life that we have as children of God, we are in a race, and we are to run as we are. Whatever it takes to get the prize, we are to do that. Amen. So this race, no matter what you accept or not, the truth is that we're going to go through obstacles while we're in this race. We're going to go through distractions while we're in this race. We're going to go through hindrances in this race. We're going to go through things that's going to slow us down in our race. Amen. We're going to go through things that's going to cause us to try to look back like Lot's wife. Amen. But we have to stay focused. Amen. Like it says, Do you not know that in a race all the runners run, but only one gets the prize? So run in such a way as to get the prize. Basically, run in such a way that nothing distracts you. Run in such a way that nothing can hinder you. Run in such a way that nothing can whisper in your ear and get you to look backwards, amen? Run in such a way that you're going to make sure, you're going to secure, you're going to do it with confidence. You're going to know in your soul that you're going to win the prize, amen? You're going to be known as one who ran the good race, amen? So let us continue. 2 Chronicles chapter 15 verse 7 says, "But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." We must understand that works is a part of a child of God's life, amen. There's no way around that. You take works out the Bible, you're not left with the Bible, amen. Because there's works throughout from the beginning to the back of the book, from Genesis to Revelation. You're gonna see the word works, and you're gonna see true men and women of God working, doing the work of the Lord, amen. So 2 Corinthians chapter 15 verse 7 once again, "But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." The things that you do for the Lord is not in vain. Hallelujah. You will be rewarded, the word of God says today. But he is also telling us to be strong. Why would he tell us to be strong if we're going to go through things that are not tough? Amen. The only reason why he tells us to be strong is because we was going to go through tough times, amen? But he says to be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded. Hallelujah. Praise God. How good it feels to know that as long as I keep my faith on the Lord, as long as I walk in his will, as long as I do not give up, that my work will be rewarded. How good does it feel for a workman to make sure and to know that he's going to be paid generously for his workmanship, amen. Praise God. Once again, 2 Chronicles 15:7 says, "But as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded." That's a promise. That's a promise of God. Hallelujah. Your work will be rewarded if you do not give up and you stay strong. Hallelujah. Galatians 6:9 says, "Let us not become weary in doing good, For at the proper time, we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Praise God. Did we not just read in 2 Chronicles 15:7, but as for you, be strong and do not give up, for your work will be rewarded, is now confirmed in the New Testament for those naysayers. Praise God. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary in doing good. Basically, let us not become tired in keeping the faith and staying strong as a disciple of Christ while on this earth, as a light, as a deacon. Amen. So listen, as a beacon, amen. Galatians 6:9, let us not become weary or tired in doing good, for at the proper time, basically at the end of the race, if you're still running, that is, you will reap a harvest. You will enter in the kingdom of God if you do not give up. Wow. We cannot give up, my brothers and sisters. We are all going through tough times. We could all put a smile on our face and paint a perfect picture. But at the end of the day, the truth is, the Bible says that saints of God will suffer persecution, tribulation, and suffering. You will go through afflictions, the Bible says. So we're not fooling anybody. As a matter of fact, the Bible says to humble yourself and embrace humility so that you could be exalted in due time. Praise God. Because we only have each other. And the truth is, we are all hurting and going through tough times. But the Lord Jesus Christ has told us not to give up. Amen. Do not give up. Let us not become weary in doing good, for at the proper time we will reap a harvest if we do not give up. Praise God. Genesis 50:20 says, you intended to harm me. And before I read this scripture, let me explain something to you. Jesus himself, as the first of many, as our brother, our Lord, and our Savior, has went through many tough times. Jesus Christ was persecuted. He went through the most afflictions a man could possibly experience. And he was yet without sin. Praise God. Now we have to understand that the people, just like the people in these times, like the Pharisees and the scribes, they were out to hurt Jesus Christ and all righteous men and women of God. They didn't understand it. They were just people that had the law on their lips, or God rather, and not in their heart. And they used it for their benefit. Amen. That's why they had all those nice things. They used the word of God to become prosperous in a materialistic way, not to flourish in their spirit, man. Amen. So we have to understand that Jesus himself went through these very same afflictions, trials, suffering, and persecution. He was hated just as those righteous men and women in the future would have been hated, like we are being hated now. Amen. Genesis 50:20 says, you intended to harm me, but God intended it for good to accomplish what is now being done, the saving of many lives and those who are alive today. Amen. The people meant to harm Jesus, to take him out the way, but Jesus used the evil they had planned for Jesus for the good of his children in the future. And what happened was, amen, was that through that death, he brought life. Because God could turn a bad thing into a good. He could flip a negative to a positive. Amen. That's what you call a reciprocal. God can reciprocate the situation if you just keep your faith in his presence. Amen. So now when we continue in Luke 1:37, it says, for no word from God will ever fail. Amen. We have to understand that there is no word in the word of God that shall be void or shall come back a failure. Amen. When the Bible says that, amen, that if we do not give up, that we will be rewarded for our work, and that in the proper time that we will reap a harvest, you could take that to the bank. Amen. Because there is not a word or a stroke of a pen inside these scrolls that will come back void. Amen. Luke 1:37 says, for no word from God will ever fail. Hallelujah. Thank God for that confirmation, because it's through his word where we receive our salvation. Thank you, Lord God Almighty, the founder and finisher of my faith, for assuring us and giving us confirmation in Luke 1:37 that you said, for no word from God will ever fail. If you believe in Jesus and you confess with your mouth, and the evidence of your faith in his resurrection is obedience in this word, you could believe with confidence that you will enter the kingdom of God. Amen. Matthew chapter 7, verses 7 through 8 says, ask and it will be given to you. That we just read in Luke 1:37, for no word from God will ever fail. Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8 says, ask and it will be given unto you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door shall be opened unto you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And to the one who knocks, the door will be opened. Praise God. The door is the connection between man and the sovereign God. If you seek, you will find. If you knock, that door to the Almighty God shall be opened. That relationship shall no longer be severed. It shall be whole again. You shall have a new connection. You shall be refreshed. You shall be made anew. Praise God. Hallelujah. Luke 1:37, for no word from God will ever fail. And this is the word of God. We read this in Matthew 7, verses 7 through 8. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Ask when you're going through that trouble. Ask him for strength and he will give it to you. Seek for that way out and ask at the same time, and he'll make a way out and he'll show you the way out. Knock, ask him to come into your heart and he will make himself known. Hallelujah. According to the word of God, which shall not fail. Luke 18:1 says, Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. Praise God. Jesus, our Messiah, he showed his disciples, because that's what pastors are supposed to be doing and teaching the sheep in every generation until that time comes, that beautiful day when the new Jerusalem comes, when the wrath of God comes. How beautiful even that day is. Even the gnashing of the teeth is a beautiful melody unto the saints who are waiting for that day with confidence. Hallelujah. The gnashing of the teeth is a melody of no more evil, no more of that naughtiness, no more lying, no more cheating, no more that you can gnash, you can weep, you could do all of that, but you can no longer sin in this world. You can no longer hurt us. You can no longer hurt another soul. Praise God. Ask and it will be given to you. Seek and you will find. Knock and the door will be open to you. For everyone who asks receives. The one who seeks finds. And the one who knocks, the door will be open. Praise God. Luke 18:1 once again. Then Jesus, while being a good teacher that he was, he talked to his disciple and he said, always pray and never give up. Because he knew that his disciples had some tough times ahead of them. He knew that the journeys that they faced when he was going to ascend to the Father in heaven, that they was going to go through afflictions themselves, that they was going to go through persecutions themselves. So to prepare them for what was ahead, he told them. In Luke 18:1, then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them that they should always pray and never give up. 1 Corinthians 16:13, we was also told to stay on guard, to stay firm in the faith, to be courageous and to be strong. Why do we have to stay on guard? Why? Because we are in a war. The devil's out here warring with us. He wants to take our spirit, man. He wants us to have nothing to do with the inheritance that God left us. Amen. So we got to stay on guard. He's looking to steal that inheritance. We got to guard that inheritance. We got to be vigilant. Hallelujah. That crown, that everlasting crown. We got to guard that crown, the Bible says. The Bible's looking to steal it. And he will steal it if you are not guarding it. That's why the Bible says to guard it. Praise God. We're going to go with what the Bible says today again. Amen. Then Jesus told his disciples a parable to show them they should always pray and not give up. And then we read 1 Corinthians 16:13 to be on guard. God says to watch out. Be on the lookout. Watch your back. Be careful. Watch out for yourself. Amen. Be on guard. Stand firm in the faith. Don't let nobody tell you what you read in the Word of God. What you know the Spirit has already showed you. Be courageous. Be strong. Even if you have to go against people you love, you never compromise for the Word of God. Amen. Psalms 37. We're going to read. It says that this is a scripture that I think goes well with 1 Corinthians 16:13 that we just read about being on guard, staying firm in the faith, being courageous, and being strong. Amen. And this is the results. This is what you get from that. This is what this produces. When you stay on guard, when you stand firm in the faith, when you're courageous, and when you're strong. Amen. In the Lord. This is the benefits. This is the results. Psalms 37:24 says, though he may stumble, he will not fall, for the Lord upholds him with his hand. As long as you are on guard, you stand firm in the faith, and you can courageous in the midst of the spiritual battlefield, when there's fiery darts all around you, and you're just swinging that sword, and you're just trying to stay on your feet, and you're standing on that rock, and there's waves coming up against you, and they're beating against their chests, and they're trying to bring you down. Though you may stumble, you will not fall, for the Lord upholds you with his hand. Praise God. While you're going through it all, in the midst of it, he's right there holding you tall. You're not going to be shaken because it's in his hand. That's why the Bible says, I'm fully convinced that neither height nor depth, nor angel nor demons, nothing's going to separate you from the love of God, because you are in his hands. Nothing's going to pluck you out of what? His hands. Praise God. God will be holding you in his hands in the midst of the storm. That's why you must be on that rock to assure that you are going to make it through. Praise God. You will be rewarded for your work and keeping the faith, fighting the good fight, running the race, amen. Now we read also in Philippians chapter, we're going to read chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. You know, I want to read this because I want you to understand, we got to understand the personalities of these apostles that are teaching us these things, amen. So when people come and they preach the Bible, we say, that's not the Paul I know. Hold on. I learned about Luke. I learned about John. I went deep into their life. I know what type of people they are. And that don't sound like Luke. Amen. We got to be able to test every spirit. We got to be able to rightfully divide and not be ashamed of the word of God. For it is the power unto man. Amen. So we got to understand that Paul himself, when he came to Christ, everything that he once was no longer mattered to him. Everything he once cared about, he no longer cared about no more. He literally gave up everything for Christ. Like, everything that was once anything to him was nothing. And that's the same attitude as Christians we're supposed to have for Christ, amen. When you come to Christ, you literally supposed to give everything to him and let everything go. And if it's nothing, if nothing is in the light of the Lord, then you're not supposed to have no fellowship with it, amen. But that doesn't change having the work of the evangelist and still going out and being a light to other people. But when it comes to your home that you're supposed to keep sacred, you're not supposed to be mixing darkness in your home. I don't know where people taught you that, amen. Jesus came into many homes. None of the homes were his, amen. And some of these homes, there were sinners in it, but he brought them to his presence so they could experience his grace and his love, amen. And that's how I was supposed to be out here. We supposed to do the work of an evangelist, but in the house of God, we're not supposed to be mixing none of this negativity. That's why people were purged out the church back in the day. They were carried out the church like a rock, picked up like a rock and thrown out the church. God says in Corinthians also to pluck out the evil mongers from among you that are in the church. You're not supposed to have a stained church. People allow people to come to church that are sinners because they want their money. All right. That's the truth. But really, the church is outside. You're supposed to bring evangelism outside. You're supposed to save souls outside. And the church are the saved people supposed to gather and celebrate being saved together. You know, the resurrection of Christ together. You know, new converts together. Just worship, praise God together. But that's the truth of the matter. That's neither here nor there, though. At the end of the day, let's get back to the Bible. Paul was a man who, once he found Christ, nothing else mattered to him. And we see this in Philippians chapter 3, verses 7 through 14. It says, But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. Whatever would matter to him before, he don't even care about that no more for Christ. What is more? And more than that, he says, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ. Knowing Christ alone was worth more than everything he ever thought mattered. Praise God. Knowing Christ Jesus, my Lord, he says, Paul, for those for whose sake I have lost all things, because he gave everything for Christ. Amen. I consider them garbage, Paul says. Paul the Apostle says everything he once thought mattered, he considers them absolutely trash, garbage. They're worthless. That I may, he had to consider them trash so that he may even have a chance to gain Christ. I don't think y'all hearing what I'm saying to you. Listen to the Apostle today. But whatever were gains to me, I now consider loss for the sake of Christ. And even more, I consider everything a loss because of the surpassing worth of knowing Christ Jesus my Lord. For whose sake I have lost all things, I consider them garbage, that I may gain Christ and be found in him. So he may be found in Christ. He considers everything that mattered to him and everything he thought was important garbage. Every only thing that matters to him is Christ now. Praise God. That's the attitude of a true disciple of Christ. That's the attitude of an apostle. Amen. That's the attitude of someone that has really had an experience with the Lord. Amen. Praise God. A transformation moment. Amen. And somehow, listen, I want to know Christ. Yes. To know the power of his resurrection. He say he don't care about nothing. All he wants to know is to know the power of his resurrection and participate in his sufferings. Paul said he wants to participate in the sufferings that Christ suffered. I don't think y'all listening. Paul saying he's willing to go through crucifixion and all that. At the end of the day, he just wants to be resurrected as Jesus Christ was resurrected. He will let everything go for the sake of Christ. Everything will become garbage. Everything. But that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness that comes from God on the basis of faith, so that he could participate in his sufferings and hopefully experience the power of the resurrection of Christ himself. He let everything go. Everything go. Everything became garbage so he may have a chance to be found in Christ and may have a chance to experience the power that resurrected him to resurrected him himself the same way Jesus got resurrected. That's how deep the love of God and the power of the gospel was to the apostles. They gave everything. That's why the Bible says if you don't give up everything, you're not worthy to be my disciple. Indeed. Amen. Now, I'm going to hit you guys with one last powerful scripture. And this is 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Amen. You know, we have, this is after Paul shows us the attitude we should have, he also tells us that to strengthen us even more, that yeah, it's going to be even more worse than we can imagine. But the good news is what's inside of us is God. And when we got God, we are not losing here. And what we got to gain is everything. We're losing nothing. Amen. That's why everything he once thought was important has now become garbage. Because death no longer has a sting on a child of God. Amen. So here's the confirmation in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we do not lose heart. You know, for the mercy of God, since we have this ministry, which is to share this good news and this truth and this word and this Bible, we're not supposed to lose heart, amen. Rather, we have renounced secret and shameful ways. We told people about these things that were bad, that God does not like, he's not pleased with them. We renounce the secret stuff and in shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. God sees what we're doing and we're being commended by it in his sight. He's saying, that's my children right there. They're telling these people, their other brothers and sisters, that what they're doing is wrong. A daddy's coming soon, amen. So that's what it's saying. Let's read that one more time. 2 Corinthians 4, 1 through 11. Therefore, since through God's mercy we have this ministry, we should not lose heart. Rather, we have renounced secret, or basically we exposed shameful ways. We do not use deception, nor do we distort the word of God. On the contrary, by setting forth the truth plainly, we commend ourselves to everyone's conscience in the sight of God. And even if our gospel is veiled, meaning covered, or people want to block it out, it's only veiled or covered to those who are perishing. There's some people that's not going to tolerate. The Bible says it's going to come a time when people are not going to adhere to sound doctrine, amen? So they're going to block it, but it's only going to be blocked by those who are perishing themselves. Praise God. Because those who are walking in truth is going to stick to the truth. Spirit and truth recognize truth, amen? Praise God. Let's read that one more time. And that was, it says, and even if our gospel is veiled or covered or blocked, it is veiled to those who are perishing, those who are already dying, those who think they know what they're talking about, but truly they fool, they deceiving themselves, the Bible says. The God of this age has blinded the minds of unbelievers, so they cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image of God. They cannot see the light of the gospel that displays the glory of Christ, who is the image. Christ is the image of God. For God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of God's glory displayed in the face of Christ. We are hard pressed on every side, but not crushed, perplexed, but not in despair, persecuted, but not abandoned, struck down, but not destroyed. Brothers and sisters, I want to just wrap this up. I want to let you know that today's message was about not giving up. Today, I want to let you know whatever you're going through, whatever it was bringing you down this past week, this past month, this past year. This year is a new year in Jesus' name. Even if you had a bad start, I want to let you know, don't give up, because God's going to reward you for your hard work. And no matter what, God's going to uphold you with his right hand. And though you may stumble, you may not fall. Praise God. I want to just remind you, once again, do not give up, because the Bible says, for what we preach is not of ourselves, but Jesus Christ as Lord, and ourselves as his servants. For Jesus' sake, for God, who said, let light shine out of darkness, made his light shine in our hearts to give us the light of the knowledge of the glory displayed in the face of Christ. We are hard pressed on every side. Man, I forgot a line right here. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this all surpassing power is from God and not from us. Listen to this very closely. But we have this treasure in jars. The jars of clay is our bodies made from dirt and dust. Amen. But we have this treasure in jars of clay to show that this surpassing power is from God and not from us. God is in us like he was in Jesus Christ. Amen. We have a treasure in our bodies, that is the Holy Ghost, to show that the surpassing power that is keeping us standing while we're hard pressed on every side, while we're being pressed on every side but not crushed, while we're being perplexed but not in despair, while we're being persecuted in every area but not abandoned, because God is right there through it all, while we're being struck down but not destroyed, praise God. We must understand that is the treasure inside of these clay jars, which is our bodies, and that is God, the Holy Ghost. Amen. Like there was in Jesus. Just like when Meshach, Abishak, and Abednego, when they jumped in the furnace, their clay jars didn't have no scars. They didn't have no burns because of the treasure that was inside of them. Amen. That kept them safe. We have that treasure in us today, so that when we are perplexed and hard pressed on every side, we are not crushed. We will not be in despair when we're persecuted in every area of our lives, in every angle, by every person we thought was close to us. But we will not be abandoned, hallelujah, or destroyed through it all, because of that very treasure that is inside of us now, through the faith that we have in the resurrection of the one and only begotten Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen. So once again, no matter what you're going through, do not give up. Do not give up. depression, anxiety. Those are things that come and go. Those could be attacks. Those are not demons all the time. You could go through those things, but you must not give up. You must stay strong with the Lord. You must come back to His holy presence. You must come back to your first love. Amen. Do not give up. Stay strong and be courageous, for the Lord is with you everywhere you go. Amen. Once again, this is Truth Be Told, Church of the Living Christ, Apostle Joseph Rodriguez. And hey, we swear to tell the truth and nothing but the truth, so help us God. Do not give up. Do not give up. If you could do one thing this week, do me a favor and tell someone you love not to give up. Amen. I'll see you next week.